Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Friday. Woo!
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is officially our first Football Friday, baby. Ooh, I'm hyped up. So you want to join the ride and the adventure, give us a ring, 718-664-9098. Like always, Ray and Tay Today. Let me spell it for you. RAEANDTAY today at gmail.com. We'll get to some of your questions and comments and, you know, people talking about last night with the sheriff already, Ray, Peyton Manning. But also, check us at Facebook, Twitter, Ray and Tay Today, and our website, very interactive. We've got a lot of stuff going on there. You can check out our NFL preview show from September 4th, our college preview show with Charles Davis, and just, you know, the myriad and plethora of guests that we've had on our show. And we love when you guys listen. So keep it up and just keep contacting us as we will get back to you like we always do. So, Ray, let them know what's going on this Football Friday.
We got a lot of action going on. Obviously, we'll be talking about Peyton Manning's performance at those 7 touchdowns. But let's first start with what's going on in the world of sports. We'll quickly take you to the U.S. Open with a live update from Flushing Meadows, Queens. We'll get you a little bit of NBA breaking news. We got the drug-related suspension affecting our Knicks. And then we'll get into NCAA football. Big weekend this weekend. We've got only 2 top 25 matches, but they're very compelling. And then we'll talk about the NFL. We'll talk about yesterday's game where an unbelievable second half was put on the Ravens, and the Broncos just really took care of business. And Peyton threw his 7 touchdowns. Wow. We'll get into that. We'll tell you what that means for the AFC, if you can draw any conclusions from one game. And then we'll talk about week 1 in the NFL. We'll talk about 5 games, the 5 top games in the NFL this Sunday. So a lot to get into. Let's jump right to it.
Well, like you said, we have Flushing Meadows. So congrats to Azarenka. She won earlier 6-4, 6-2 over our girl, who, you know, got there,
Panetta.
Right? Panetta. And she, you know, like you said, it's sort of keeping to the top ones, you know. And I'm excited to see Azarenka go up against Serena. Serena is also very close to winning. So congrats to Azarenka. Serena is up over Na, right? She won 6-0 and now 5-2.
6-love, 5-2.
So that's, you know, that's impressive. Why don't you update them about the men? And then
Serena. A lot of high seeds in the men. There were a few upsets, so it wasn't 1-2-3-4, but it's number 1 seed Djokovic against Wawrinka, and then Gasquet against Nadal. So if that holds to form, you're going to have
like
your 1-2 Djokovic-Nadal final, which would be the same thing we have on the women's side if Serena holds on here, and it would be a 1-2 Serena Williams-Victoria Azarenka. So
which is great for the fans
two,
of the U.S.
possibly
Open, right?
Possibly on both sides, yep.
Yeah, great for the ratings, CBS, great for the fans, great for the visitors out there. You know, U.S. Open is one of those, you know, look, it might not be Wimbledon, but in America, it's always great. There's something magical, I think, about the U.S. Open because it's around the start of football. You know, the CBS in the afternoon never has the doubleheader because of, you know, the U.S. Open, and they're covering that. And so I think it's going to be exciting. And I think Serena is looking dominant, and I think she's going to take Azarenka down. Maybe 2-3 sets, but she'll definitely, I think she'll win. And, hey, you got Djokovic, and I got Nadal, and I'm sticking with it. So let's hope they face off. And then, boom, there you go. Now, what's going on? You know, we've talked NBA forever. We haven't talked about it in a little bit. But the news that comes out, unfortunately, is something we shouldn't be talking about. It's negative. You know, there's a couple of little signings, invitations to training camp. But right now, our guy, J.R. Smith, he signs back with the Knicks. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's got to have surgery. Then now, he's suspended 5 games for, you know, blazing them trees. So are we just in a position where the Knicks might just be doomed and cursed this year before the season even starts? And is JR, is he mentally with the team or is he not?
I think he's fine. I think a lot in pro sports, you have a lot of players doing this. Remember Rashid Wallace, Rosh Weed, and then they were saying 70-80% of the league smokes weed. So, look, I don't know what the number is.
Well, what about
sure.
your boy in football, Ricky Williams? They said he used to smoke the night before the games. A teammate came out and said that just the other day.
Well, yeah.
Former teammate of Ricky Williams.
He was a known pothead. I mean, they did that 30 for 30 on him. And you know, he has some bigger issues. But I think from an NBA standpoint, look, the Knicks will lose him for 5 games. Sure, it'll hurt. I think all of this is about setting up for the playoffs. I think the Knicks right now, you can make the argument, the 5th best team in the East. Even though they were the 2nd best team by record last year, they could be the 4th or 5th best team in the East. So it's all about getting into the playoffs, being healthy in the playoffs, because everything else is just preparation. I think all those teams that are ahead of the Knicks, potentially they all have the same goal in mind. So just making the playoffs first or second round is not good enough. So I guess let's check back in, you know, in January, February.
I mean, 5 games. I mean, obviously, we can't make a big deal out of 5 games. And I think, you know, all the fans know that. I think it's just frustrating. I think that's what it is. It's just frustrating because you kind of want to believe that he's turned the corner, even though, you know, we saw come the playoffs in Indiana, he sort of was out partying and just disappeared. And after the suspension, didn't play well the rest of the playoffs. But, you know, hey, we'll see. So the question is, before we look at these 2 games in college football, and, you know, hey, we're not going to preview it, but Florida and Miami, we know that that's a big game, too, and it's going to be exciting, even though Miami's not ranked. You know, they could always cause some noise. But talking about last week, we didn't mention that Alabama sort of struggled. You know, they had a lot of points on special teams, beat Virginia Tech, and, you know, looked dominant in the second half. But let me ask you just mentally, what do you think about what's going on with Johnny Manziel and trying to show up the Rice players and people chirping at him, which will happen, and he probably deserves it, but him sort of responding back and, you know, pretending to sign autographs and flashing money, you know what I mean? Like, is it just hype, or is the kid sort of putting himself before the team, and could that sort of rear its ugly head at Texas A&M before the season's out in terms of affecting his team?
I don't think so. I think he's the type of guy that it looks like this is the kind of thing that motivates him. So to the extent that he's built this way, look, he got into a fight at a bar, you know, before he was even a freshman at Texas A&M. So I think the guy is just ultra competitive and he's wired a certain way, and this is just who he is. So I still come back to the fact that he shouldn't be in college. He should be a professional getting paid. And then those teams would have much, much less tolerance for this because, you know, the hammer would come down on him with these off-field shenanigans. But I think he'll be fine. I think at the end of the day, he's a college kid, and the other college kids are with him. I think his teammates are with him. I don't think there's any dissension in the ranks. I think they'll be fine. They'll go as far as their, you know, talent and their execution can take them. I don't think they have a problem inside the locker room with Johnny Manziel.
Okay. What about with the coach? With some?
Well,
do you think he's sort of? Yeah.
He's probably annoyed, right? And,
yeah.
And rightfully so, and he's probably dealing too much of his time with the media. He did put the media blackout on him, on Manziel again, like he had last year as a redshirt freshman. But at the end of the day, I think even with all this, he'll take it because Johnny Manziel single-handedly has put Texas A&M on the map as a top 10 program for the last couple years. So you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So even though Kevin Sumlin doesn't love it, I think he'll say, look, you know, the guy's an ultra-talented player. He gives us a chance to win every game. And the big game up against Alabama is next week. So I'd rather go into that game with Johnny Manziel than without him. So I think he kind of bites his tongue, and he'll say, you know, thank you for your service. At the end of the year, he'll say, thank you for your service. Good luck in the NBA. I mean, in the NFL. And while I have you here, let's just win games.
Well, let's move on. Number 6, South Carolina, going to number 11, Georgia. We saw South Carolina, you know, pretty much, you know, even with the weather delay, dominate North Carolina. And then we saw Georgia in a dogfight with Clemson, back and forth battle, just sort of get out-dueled and maybe outclassed a little, where Taj Boyd kind of stepped up ahead of Murray and was like, I'm the number one stunner at quarterback. I guess my biggest question is, obviously, does Clowney step up and play better? But does Murray step up and play better? I think, you know, Murray had some mistakes in the game. Georgia's at home. It's SEC. They don't want to go start off 0-2. What's your feel when you start to really look at this matchup and just South Carolina and the coaches and just this battle at Georgia?
By the way, breaking news, Serena Williams just won 6-love, 6-3.
Yeah.
So she'll be going to her finals matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, I like the color she's wearing. She's looking sharp, you know. Look at that.
Go Serena.
Wave to the crowd. Yeah.
So, back to football.
I got to say it, man. I just think, you know, it's hard when you're living in it, right? But I think she's the best. She's been the most dominant.
She's been the most dominant, that's for sure, especially in majors. But, you know, we'll get into that on Monday. We'll have some tennis.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's going to be any rain out, so it looks like Saturday and Sunday we'll have the women's finals and the men's finals. So back to college
football. Do you trust Murray? I mean, this is a big game, right?
I like Aaron Murray. I think he's a player. I think Clemson, he was 20 for 29.
Even on Sundays? Is he a player on Sundays?
Well, I don't know about that. But, you know, he's kind of small. He's not like Matt Stafford and a big, strong kid with the, you know, 6'5", with
right.
the cannon arm. So I think Aaron Murray, let him get through college, right? The guy wasn't bad. He was 20 for 29 for 323 last week against a decent Clemson team. And he was in a shootout.
Right, and what about the running back? Can he step up? Can Gurley sort of,
Gurley's nice.
You know, he had 100. No, he had 2 touchdowns and 150, you know,
on
154
only 12
yards.
Carries.
But
I feel like they didn't run him enough.
That's the question. Like, do you think that he can he run on South Carolina's defense? Georgia run on South Carolina's defense?
Yeah, so I think they can. I don't know they'll be as effective as they were against Clemson. And as for Jadeveon Clowney, I think that he will definitely show up. And I think he will be embarrassed from what he did. In terms of his performance is not up to his Heisman standards. And
it's going to be hot and humid out there, though, again, Ray. 86
right,
degrees,
they're
saying.
Georgia doesn't run that same tempo that Clemson runs. So I think I think they'll be okay. I think that ultimately they're going to be fine with, you know, playing a traditional offense. I mean, they're a good offensive team, Georgia, don't get me wrong. But I don't think that, you know, Clowney has to worry about these little, you know, every 20, 25 seconds running a play like they were running or every 15, 20 seconds running a play like they were, like Clemson was doing. So I look for a very close game. I think that because they're at home, I think Georgia actually goes ahead and wins this game. I know that they're the 11th seed and South Carolina's number 6, but I can't see Georgia going 0-2 and losing at home again. So I like Georgia win this game. I think they win something like 24-23.
Wow. And you know what? We sort of see it the same way, except I think South Carolina goes on the road and not an upset, but kind of an upset in the division. I think they go to Georgia. I think they actually win a tight, tight game, 28-27, and we sort of see Clowney cause, you know, maybe a couple sacks, maybe a turnover, a fumble, whatever it is. I think they're going to wake up the beast. Too many people have been criticizing him for that performance, and I think he's just, I think, you know, it's like awaking a sleeping giant. And I think Shaw can have a big game. You know, I think, you know, obviously he didn't throw for much last week, 149, but I could see him getting about 250 this week, and I just think South Carolina pulls it out, 28-27.
Okay. All right, one more game in college. Don't call it a rivalry.
What about the next game?
Don't call it a comeback.
I know.
Don't call it a rivalry. Coach Kelly said it's not a rivalry, which kind of upset
a lot of Michigan.
Yeah, and
then he sort of checked himself right after Lou Holtz and everybody else was like, what?
So, yeah, again, because of Notre Dame going to the semi-ACC, so they're playing five ACC games, so they can't afford to have some of these rivalries. So it's been canceled from now
for a while.
Until, 2015, 16, 17, it's all been canceled, the Michigan quote-unquote rivalry.
Which is, it's unfortunate, right? As football fans, we feel like we sort of deserve these rivalries. I mean, we already lost Oklahoma, Nebraska. We've lost, you know, some great rivalries. It's kind of like it's bizarre. You know, it is bizarre. But, hey, let's enjoy it this weekend. I mean, I think, you know, obviously game day is going to be there from ESPN. It's 8 o'clock, you know, Saturday night. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be exciting. You got number 14 Notre Dame and number 17 Michigan. And right off the bat, I got to ask you, is Gardner ready? You know, he had some struggles last week. Can Gardner lead Michigan? And not really an upset, but, you know, hey, Notre Dame beat him last year in a good game. Is Gardner ready? I guess that's the question. Is he ready for Notre Dame? And, you know, definitely he's ready to be the quarterback of Michigan, but can he get the W?
If I could sing for you, I would sing, Hail to the Victor. Dun, dun, dun. I don't know the rest of the words because I didn't go to Michigan.
Yeah.
But I think.
But
Michigan,
we are Michigan fans, as people know. We definitely, you know, we like Michigan football.
But I think Gardner has enough. I think Michigan holds their ground. They win. They have a balanced attack. I think Gardner and Green and that whole offense has enough. I don't love Tommy Rees. He had a big game last game. But, there's a reason why he was benched. And there was a reason why after having a good freshman year, he was benched for Golson. So I like this Michigan team. I think they – another close game. I think they win this game something like 24-20. But I think Michigan holds on and takes down Notre Dame in the Big House.
You know, I think you're totally right. I think there is a reason why Rees was benched. I do think his numbers will come down. I don't think he's going to repeat 346 yards, not against Michigan's defense and not in Michigan. This will be a challenge for Notre Dame. Let's see how these linebackers step up, you know, without Teau and, you know, some of their different leaders. Five-year, fifth-year seniors will step up. And I want to see if, you know, Rees can, you know, sort of get it out wide to Jones. You know, Jones had a big week last week, 6 for 138. I want to see sort of that matchup, and they might go blow for blow. I mean, I actually think this is going to be pretty close. I got Michigan winning by a field goal. I got them 27-24. So I think it's going to be very entertaining, and I just see Gardner doing something kind of magical towards the end. You know, I think he'll either get the drive to get them in field goal range or to go ahead with the go-ahead touchdown, being down like 24-20. So, hey, go Wolverines, you know. I mean, Ray's wife is an alum, right? So, you know, Erica should be excited. And, you know, be cheered for the
Don't get me started on these people that go
to
these
big
sports.
They don't even appreciate.
And then they forget.
Gosh.
They graduate. They have a good 4 years, and they go to these road games. And she went to the Rose Bowl and the national championship. And then once she graduates, it's like, oh, okay, it's not interesting to me anymore. I'm like, what?
What? You got to be a lifer, you know? Got to be a lifer.
Exactly.
No, you know, it's so funny. You know, for us, we look at it in a whole different light. And speaking of which, right off the bat, as we segue to football, I tip my hat to Ray. I believe the quote was, Peyton Manning will be my MVP, and he will throw up astronomical numbers. And Ray, wow, he's doing you right. Starting off week one, Peyton Manning last night, 7 touchdowns, 462 yards, and he did not play a great game, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, hey, I tip my hat to you, Ray. I could see where Manning could be, you know, I don't know about MVP, but he's gonna be impressive. Julius Thomas, Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Decker. And you know what's so funny?
He could win his fifth MVP. He could win his fifth regular season MVP. Because if they don't run the ball, he's going to throw
right.
up. He threw up 4,700 yards last year. And so he knows his receivers a little bit better. This tight end, Julian Thomas, looks like he's athletic. He's the next coming of Antonio Gates. And you add Wes Welker to a team where you're only getting to know Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker better. Wow.
It's crazy. And it's so funny. A lot of people were drafting Monte Ball and even Hillman as backup, but I had that feeling, and I even said in the previous show, no Sean Marino, like in the playoffs, because he's a good pass blocker, hey, he got the start, because you know Peyton Manning wants his running backs to be able to block, and I think it looks like a three-headed monster. So that's horrible for fantasy owners, right?
Fantasy, that's terrible.
Yeah, they're going to play, like, you know, Hillman for the screen passes, Moreno for a little bit of both, and then Monte Ball looks like maybe he'll get goal line and, you know, short yardage carries, but or the end of game when they want to run clock. But this is the thing. If Manning can get that second Super Bowl, it changes the legacy and puts him – you know, it puts him in the, you know, that top three or four quarterbacks of all time conversation. Now, with the 1-1 in the Super Bowls and sort of a shaky playoff record, I think he's almost sort of, you know, he's obviously one of the greatest ever, but he's almost in that second tier of the greatest ever. Would you agree with that? Do you feel he needs
to get a second Super Bowl?
That
second Super Bowl separates you from the guys like Brad Johnson and other guys that were.
Well,
just,
he's already,
you know,
separated. Don't go to Brad
course,
Johnson.
But what
That's
I'm saying is
fair.
There's a lot of guys that have won one Super Bowl.
So if you
win two, regardless of who you are, you're already in an elite category. I'm trying to do off the top of my head, 5-6 quarterbacks come to mind that have won two or more, you know, Super Bowls. So if you can win two and you've got four, and I'm saying 5 MVPs, then you're really, you know, in an elite category. But hold on, we got a caller who's known to the show. He's a Miami Dolphin fan. His name is Big Hank.
Big Hank.
You probably got some football to talk to us about. Hank, welcome to the show.
What's happening, y'all? Yeah, I always want to talk about football. 24/7, brother.
Okay.
There you go. Welcome,
Hank. What's on your mind?
Well, one thing I want to say about last night's game, which surprised me, it's not that Denver won, but, like, you know, their offensive line kind of held up. You know, that's the game plan, you would think, right? Okay, we're playing Peyton Manning. He's got his center replaced. Let's just blitz the heck out of him. That's what we do as Baltimore anyway. But, like, they really, I mean, I guess they got 2 sacks on him, but and they might have been in the first half, but he was doing double moves and pump fakes on the Ravens, and it was kind of embarrassing. Where was the pass?
No, you're right. You're definitely right. And Chris Canty got
him
now.
But he wasn't, you know, They didn't fluster Manning, and that's the only way to really beat him is get him flustered. Have him
especially
have
up the middle. You needed Nada to really get up the middle. You saw Canty get it to him once. Julius Thomas did well blocking Suggs a couple of times. You're waiting to see sort of, you know, Dumerville got 1 sack, but a bunch of times he got sort of burnt, and Manning was just lighting him up. And I guess the question is not so much Denver. You know, obviously, it's the Ravens. And, you know, early on when they started losing all their players, you know, Ray sort of threw it out there that, hey, they could barely go 8-8. And then they sort of, Ozzie Smith, you know, they sort of made some great moves and they put together some people. But people like Huff and they got the linebacker from Jacksonville, Smith, you got to wonder, can they step in and replace the clutchness and the leadership of Ed Reed and Ray Lewis? And that's what I think they're going to really miss.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I hate to get caught up in the moment because, look, the Ravens are Super Bowl champions, but they kind of got lucky last year. So, you know, maybe they weren't as good as what everybody thought to begin with. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
I hate to say that because, like, it's week one, right? Like, let's not doom these guys to the mediocrity after week one, you know, on the road. But I think you're right. Like, there were some glaring defensive lapses that it was almost like Peyton Manning wasn't taking them seriously. I mean, they didn't, you know, you would think, like, okay, Denver wants to run the ball and keep the defense honest, but they really didn't do that. I mean,
well,
no, you're right.
Also, Denver was, you know, Baltimore led at the half 17-14.
Yep.
And then they got outscored 35-10 in the second half. And really, it was over when they gave up 21 points in the third. So you could argue Peyton put it on him in three quarters. But you make a good point, Hank. I mean, I don't think anybody on the other side of that Denver offense yesterday would have done much better. I just think Peyton Manning was in some kind of groove, and they just connected his receivers, and you got to get him off of his spot and make him uncomfortable. But I just think that performance, they were going to beat anybody that night. So,
but
for the Ravens,
but you know what was glaring too? You know what really was glaring was if you lock down Torrey Smith, not having Pitta, not having Anquan Boldin, it almost cripples the Ravens. Because all you can do is drop it to Ray Rice out of the backfield, and Stokely and Clark, that, you know, people drop balls, but they also don't get great separation. So you're hoping that this kid Bird steps up, Marlon Brown. I mean, Marlon Brown, if he can, you know, at 6'5", be a difference maker. But if the Ravens' offense is going to look a little, you know, Ed Dixon drops some balls. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have a go-to guy, you know, to catch balls, and maybe, you know, Brandon Stokely at 50 years old is that guy. But you're right, like, running these fly-by patterns or whatever with Torrey Smith is nice, but you can defend it if you're not afraid about anybody beating you underneath. I mean, think about it. They're rolling with Brandon Stokely and, I guess, what, Dallas Clark?
He didn't even make his plays. Oh, by the way, I need to let our audience know that Hank is playing Tay in fantasy football.
Hank got
47.8 to nothing. Yeah. He's played two players. He played Ray Rice and Wes Welker. Nice little start.
You know what? I'm not scared, and I love to make the comebacks. That's how TaylorMade does it. But real quick, because we got to go on with our week one preview, for Hank, from you, two things.
Yes.
We need a Super Bowl prediction, right? Because we both have the Niners winning, and Ray's got the Niners over the Broncos. I've got the Niners over the Texans like I picked last year. But we need a Super Bowl pick, and your Dolphins, their record, and can the Dolphins win on the road this week against the Browns? Hit us up, Hank.
I'll take the easy question first. I think the record for the Dolphins is 9-7. And the reason why I'm not as bullish as everybody else is, like, you know, when you essentially rebuild an entire team with free agency, it takes a while to gel. You're not going to just step up on the field with guys you don't know and just kill folks. You know, you can do that in baseball. You can get Soriano to come over to the Yankees. And just as long as he hits home runs, it just changes the complexion of your team.
As long as you don't get picked off in the ninth inning.
That's
a separate story, yeah.
The questionable call by the ump. But anyway, I don't think
97 is generous, though, I think, Hank. 97 is kind of generous. The offensive line's not that impressive. Miller hasn't looked so great in preseason.
But the AFC East is pretty weak.
I think their schedule is actually really tough at the beginning of the year, and then it gets easier. And we're gonna get wins at the end of the year and make a run for it. But I think that the ceiling is 9-7. And remember, you know, we're playing Buffalo and we're playing Jets twice a year, right? So it sounds like
four wins,
like a big number. You know, 9 wins sounds like a big number, but it's really not. You know.
Do you beat the Browns this week?
Yes, but I'm scared of the Browns because I don't know what their offense looks like. I mean, I know it's a North Turner offense, but
Yeah.
You know, it's all new guys there. I'm actually playing the tight end, and I'm just hoping that Norv, as he always does, just keeps feeding the tight end. That's what I'm hoping.
All right. Before we let you go, Hank, give us your Super Bowl pick.
You know, I took the Broncos last year, and I got mad because they basically blew it. So I got to stick with
the Broncos. Yeah, you had Packers-Broncos, didn't you, last year?
I did Packers-Broncos. I'm sticking with the Broncos. I'm a little bit worried about the 49ers only because I think that Kaepernick doesn't really see the whole field. Now, maybe he doesn't have to because if he runs the ball and runs for 15 yards and gets first down, maybe he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I could be, you know, I could be wrong. But believe it or not, you know, I like the Redskins this year.
Wow.
RG3.
It's not because of the offense, actually. It's actually because of the defense, because Arakpo's back.
Arakpo and Kerrigan coming back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually like the Redskins. I think the NFC East, for once, is overrated, which it's usually not. They usually have good teams. And I like the Redskins, but I think they lose to the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Wow, Redskins.
All right, you got Manning
Broncos.
Getting his
okay.
second one and being in a whole nother level and tied with his brother. All right, Hank, well, listen, keep listening. We're going to continue to preview the show. Thank you for calling, and we will hold you to that. Broncos over the Redskins. You heard it from Big Hank, the Dolphins fan.
That's the Doug Williams Super Bowl, right? We got a repeat.
Yeah, that's right. 88, right, or 89. 88, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Hank. So, Ray, let's start it. Week one, previewing. Bengals or going to Chicago Bears. What are you thinking? Because that's a great game.
It really is, because I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win the AFC North, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Chicago's tough at home. I think that home field advantage is pretty decent for them, but I like them later on in the season. I think this is one of the first big tests for the Cincinnati team. Can they win on the road? Can they hold themselves up to a higher standard and be a Super Bowl team, or at least be a playoff team? So I love their little Giovanni Bernard to go along with, obviously, Dalton and A.J. Green is one of the most deadly combos in the league. Mohamed Sanu, I think he's going to have a breakout year. The tight ends, give him love. Geno Atkins and the defense, they can play. I like Cincinnati. I think Brandon Marshall's hip is going to give him problems all year. I'm not sure that Matt Forte has an explosive breakout game. I think Jay Cutler does enough to score some points but throws a few picks. I like Cincinnati in this game. I like Cincinnati to go into the renovated Soldier Field, not what it used to be, and Cincinnati
right.
takes this game. I like Cincinnati on the road.
What's the score?
I like Cincinnati 31. I think it'll be a pretty high-scoring game, 31-27.
Okay. Well, I kind of have to agree with you. I got the Bengals with the AFC North, and I got the Bears making the playoffs as a wild card. But if I'm honest, I think the Bengals, they've got the pass rush. The Bears' offensive line will be improved, but, you know, I just don't know. We'll see with Trestman's play calling if they get rid of the ball quick enough. Brandon Marshall had hip issues last year. I think he'll be fine, but I just think the Bengals' defense has really stepped up, and I think they'll be able to move the ball down the field on the Bears. We're going to see how much the Bears miss Urlacher, and we'll see if they'll create turnovers. I think this is going to be pretty close and sort of medium scoring. I got Bengals 26-24 over the Bears. So now let's go to the Atlanta and the New Orleans Saints game. Sean Payton is back. Ray, what are you thinking of the AFC South battle?
So I think both of these teams
NFC
win double-digit
South.
Games. So whoever loses this game, no big deal. Having
right.
said that, they're both on a real show me, you know, season, right? The New Orleans Saints want to say that last year was an anomaly, and that whole fiasco with Joe Vitt taking over for Sean Payton, who was suspended all year, is not the team they are. They're that elite team that they've been the last 5 years, though last year they gave up the most points ever, or the most yards ever in NFL history, gave up 7,000 yards. So if you took the, you know, if you could bet in Vegas, you took whoever played against New Orleans.
Played against the Saints, yeah, especially for fantasy.
For fantasy, right? But on the by the same token, Atlanta has to prove that they can win, and that they can win home field, and that they can go to the Super Bowl. So I think it's a big game for them. Having said all of that, I still am worried about Atlanta's defense. I'm worried about them getting to the quarterback. I don't know how much OCU Manura has left in the tank, especially with the knee and those injuries. I think they have a problem in the secondary covering people. I think they have a problem. Their linebackers are just okay. So against that super-duper, that pinball offense that New Orleans
video
has,
game.
I think they just get into a shootout. Now, granted, Atlanta can shoot it out with you, but I just think Orleans has a little too much. I think New Orleans has a little too much. I look for that to be a high-scoring game. I look at that game being something like 38-35 New Orleans.
Wow. Well, you know, I got both these teams making the playoffs as well. Actually, no, I got the Saints just missing out the last week. I got to tell you, I picked Matt Ryan as my MVP, but my initial pick was Drew Brees. I think Sean Payton, like you, that's your coach of the year, I think Drew Brees will be back and amazing. They just brought back Robert Meacham. They've got this kid, Kenny Stills, and Nick Toon, Al Toon's son from the Jets. I think, you know, unlike the Ravens, they can go five deep at wide receiver. The Ravens with three wide receivers, that makes no sense to me. After Jacoby Jones got knocked out, having four receivers on your team, that's asinine. But I think that what you're going to see here is that the Falcons cannot get to the quarterback. I think that the Saints, there's a little bit of revenge factor. And sort of everybody's going to be watching this week, and it's a division rival, and the Saints want to sort of smash somebody. I think that they actually wind up winning this one 35-24. I think they sort of pull away a little bit at the end, and Drew Brees, you know, drops a 350 on them or something. So watch for Jimmy Graham, Sproles, Colston all to get some great fantasy points and score. So now number three, the third game we're looking at. This one isn't such a big matchup, but Ray and I kind of wanted to, you know, hey, we're New York guys, but we also wanted to talk about, you know, some of these free agent moves. The Bucks brought in Golston and traded and got Darrell Revis. And then the Jets have got the rookie quarterback, Geno Smith. And then this is a big year for Josh Freeman. So, Ray, hit us up. Week one, Tampa Bay at the New York Jets. Both of our second favorite teams.
This may be the last time we talk about the Jets on the program this year. I think they're going to be bad. So,
for real.
I'm trying to figure out from the Jets' perspective how they win this game. Because on paper, now the Bucs aren't the Niners, but the Bucs are just so much better. Because
great secondary.
Yes, the Bucs' defense has improved over last year. And their offense, they have playmakers at the skill position, something that the Jets don't have. They have a quarterback in his third year in Josh Freeman. They have Vincent Jackson and Williams. And then they have Dougie Fresh Martin. They have a decent offensive line. So this is a team that underachieved last year and the year before under Radio Raheem Morris. And they finally got rid of him and brought in Greg Schiano from Rutgers. So there's a local, you know, a local spin to that story.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see the Jets, frankly, even being competitive, except for the fact that it's opening day at MetLife Stadium. So if you had to ask me what the Jets need to do, I think they just need to control the ball. The Jets need to run the ball, take some air out of the clock, take a few possessions off the clock, and hopefully can move the ball, matriculate the ball down the field. Kellen Winslow catches a few balls to move the chains a little bit. You know, the Jets, I think, will keep it close, but ultimately, in the first half maybe, but ultimately, Geno Smith's not ready to be an NFL quarterback. He'll make some mistakes. I hope he doesn't get injured. I hope he gets to stay healthy, but I think he might even get knocked out of the game. The Jets just look. I mean, there's only two teams maybe that look worse than the Jets, and that might be the Raiders and the
Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. So
yeah.
I think Tampa pulls away in the second half. I think they win something like 28-13. I don't even know if the Jets can score 13 points.
Well, I'll say this. I agree with pretty much everything you said. The one thing I will say, their defense and Chris Ivory are the two standouts. Santonio Holmes might play some snaps. We'll see if Stephen Hill and Jeremy Curley and you know, Kellen Winslow Jr. can do anything. And who knows, Geno Smith could potentially surprise us. Maybe, you know, maybe he's just ready and no one knows it. And so you don't know until a kid gets into the moment, you know what I mean? And I think that's one thing I like about he has the tools, you just don't know if he's really ready. I think Tampa will throw some trickery at him. You know, McCoy stepped up a defensive tackle and has gotten a lot better. Their defense is just really strong. I mean, when you got Mark Barron and you know, Golson and those safeties, and then you know, you bring Revis,
crazy.
That secondary is crazy. So I actually think
I didn't
know,
even
the
talk
Jets,
about Revis and his incentive to do big things.
Well, let me tell you something. Don't sleep if he takes one to the house in the Meadowlands, ladies and gentlemen, because he might just try to take advantage of a rookie quarterback. I think Tampa's going to probably – it's going to be like 27-10. I think Tampa – I think Doug Martin will dance all over these guys, screen passes. I think Vincent Jackson will go up top. And they'll take advantage of Kyle Wilson. I think Kyle Wilson, who, you know, was sort of the slot corner for us, now he's sort of the number two corner. I think Kyle Wilson is just not ready. He's not ready. So I got the Bucks 27-10 over the Jets. And, yes, it will be a long year for our Jets. So our fourth game, this is what it's all about, a rematch of last year, the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers. And, boy, was that an ugly game in the playoffs with Kaepernick just – embarrass Green Bay. You got to believe that their defense is ready for some revenge. Ray, what's your thoughts and what's your pick on this game?
So Green Bay got punched in the mouth twice by the Niners. And I think that they remember that. And they're not that interested in getting punched in the mouth again. They have arguably the best quarterback in the league, although with Peyton Manning about to win his fifth MVP, he could have some. At least let's give him the best in the NFC. But Aaron Rodgers is truly an unbelievable player, a superstar who, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. That's the thing that's amazing about this guy. His touchdowns to interception ratio is really unbelievable. I mean, he's the exact opposite of Brett Favre in that respect. You know, Brett Favre made a lot of plays, but he gave the ball to the other team a lot. So I have a sneaky suspicion that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to matriculate the ball down the field, and they're going to be able to put up some numbers. And I think Eddie Lacy is going to give them enough of a running game that their receivers and JerMichael Finley are going to be able to do some things in that San Francisco secondary. Now, they're not going to put up, you know, 40, but I think that San Francisco's offense is still struggling a little bit. I think that they haven't really recovered from the fact that Michael Crabtree's out, Mario Manningham is out. So they've got to have some receivers step up, and they don't really know what to do with your boy, Vernon Davis from Maryland. So
Yo, Terps.
Once the Green Bay Packers put up points, it'll be hard for San Francisco to match them. And I think that this is that one perfect storm scenario. They're at home, so San Francisco's going to be confident and fired up. But I think the Packers have a chip on their shoulder, and at least offensively they can put up points. So I like the Packers to squeak it out here. I like the Packers
Ooh,
to win.
Picking an upset, Ray.
Yes.
What's the score? You're going with Green
upset.
Bay. You've got to give me that score.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you an upset score, 30-27 Green Bay Packers.
Wow. 30-20.
I have a lot of high-scoring games, which usually in the first week, the offenses, you know, trail the defenses, and they're usually not that high-scoring. But I think these are some veteran teams, especially Atlanta, New Orleans, Green Bay,
right.
You know, San Fran to a lesser degree. But I think Denver last night, I think that some veteran players, coming back. I think there's going to be some offense this week.
Okay. I'll buy that for a dollar. But I got to say, honestly, when I'm looking at this game, number one, I don't know if Green Bay has got enough defensively. I know Nick Perry's back and, you know, some of their younger players, and they let go of Woodson, some of their younger secondary guys, Tremont Williams, and even their linebackers might be ready. And they're going to get tested because even though Crabtree is not there, I think Kaepernick has been – him and Russell Wilson, I think they're sort of savants. They're sort of like a Manning. They're sort of like a Brady where they're willing to work out all the time because they have that hunger. I think Kaepernick and Wilson, along with RG3 and Luck, I think these guys want to be special. And when you want to be special and you put in the effort and work hard – I think that's what happens. I don't know if Green Bay has got the speed defensively or the whatever they need to answer with what Kaepernick can do. I think Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter, the backup running back, he'll get some carries and they can definitely run on that defensive line. And I think Vernon Davis will be in a slot. He'll be a tight end. He'll be a wide receiver. And I think you might see a little bit of something from his new favorite receiver, who's going to be Anquan Boldin, and Jonathan Baldwin from the Chiefs when they traded A.J. Jenkins. I think Jonathan Baldwin at 6'4", him and Kaepernick might be able to gel and hook up. But I just think there's so much versatility with the Niners offense, and I think the coach is on fire.
But there's no explosiveness, right? Even Frank
Gore
is an explosive.
Not necessarily,
Baldwin
has the speed. Right. He has the speed, and I just, you know, we just have to sort of see how it plays out. But I think that it's the play calling, right? And I think the play calling is good enough. And when you can run the ball and sort of pound the team, I think that, you know, in the beginning, maybe Green Bay, it might be Green Bay starting off, you know, with a lead, like 14-10, 14-7. But I think as the game goes on and they're at home, I just think between Kaepernick, you know, whether it's, you know, the read option, zone read, whether it's bootlegs, whether it's just broken plays like Big Ben, he can just run and take off and get you 23 yards, 17 yards, 18 yards, 9 yards, and it will just destroy Green Bay. I really do. And I think at the end of the day, I see some points too, but I think it's going to be – they'll hold them in check a little bit, and I think it's going to be 26-23. I think the Niners will beat the Packers. I also think that offensive line is in question. Justin Smith and Aldon Smith are healthy, and I think they're going to get to your boy and my boy, Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, in one of my CBS leagues, I got Aaron Rodgers as my number two pick, and AP at the number two pick. They took Calvin Johnson number one. I took AP. So I got AP and Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, I'm ready to go. Ooh. Fantasy football.
And
so that's my 90.
Going back to the Bay Area where it all began.
That's right, but I think the Niners just, you know, I think they pull it out. I think they pull out a good battle. So,
okay.
You know what that leads us to.
What do we got?
How about them
Friday.
Cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
The New York
Let's talk
Giants.
About it.
The New York football Giants, ladies and gentlemen. 4-0 in Jerry Jones's house.
Jerry's world.
And the New York Giants are traveling to the Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium. How about that sponsorship, Ray? What are you thinking? NBC, everybody's watching. Carrie Underwood is singing. Are you ready for some football? What's going on with the Giants and Cowboys?
I'm ready. I'm ready for an excellent NFC East battle. The Cowboys went in. See, it's funny because people remember that the Giants are 4-0 in Jerry's world. Now, if I'm not mistaken, in those last four games, I think the Cowboys, I think, split at MetLife.
Yeah,
years, too.
Opening season that last year, they won, yeah.
Yeah, they opened the season on a Thursday and went into MetLife Stadium and beat the Giants, right? So Cowboys and Giants, and any – pick any two teams for the NFC East, and it's really just hatred, and you can flip a coin, really, because they're all...
Yeah, it's a war. It's a battle.
I think all four teams will finish between 7-9 and 9-7. So these two teams can play 10 times, and it'll be 5-5, so it almost doesn't matter where they play. Having said that, I do believe that Dallas is playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I think Tony Romo wants to justify that money. And he usually is a great three-quarter player, and then when it comes to the fourth quarter, he makes a critical mistake. They were up against the Giants. They should beat the Giants. They could have beat the Giants last year. One game they look great against the Giants, the other game they didn't. But the Cowboys this year have a lot to prove. Now, I don't think they're going to run away with the division, but I do think that they're going to finish 9-7, and I think that they'll hold their home turf against the Giants. They might lose at MetLife, but I think they win in this game. I think that they'll go back to running the ball with DeMarco Murray. I think Callahan will call some plays that'll get the running game. Tony Romo threw the ball far too much last year. I think when you throw it as much as he did, it exposes the fact that he'll eventually make mistakes. And Tony Romo is a great out-of-the-pocket creator, but the problem is you put the ball in his hands too many times, and he's Favre-like, he'll give it back to the other team. So the Cowboys, to me, will take advantage of the fact that the Giants are still a little shaky on defense, right? They lost their safety. Jason Pierre-Paul is not healthy. We don't know what we're going to get out of Tuck. I like the Cowboys to put up some points. I like the Cowboys to move the ball in the air and then counterpunch with DeMarco Murray on the ground. I think it's going to be a close game, comes down to the fourth quarter. I think that Romo doesn't make a critical mistake in the fourth quarter to give it back. So I like the Cowboys winning a close game here, 27-24.
Oh.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Well, look, you know my heart's heavy. Cowboys for Quam. All you Cowboy fans out there, you, Quam, Tony, LeMaine, my boy Chappie. There's a gazillion of you, all you Cowboy fans. My cousin Tom, my brother Jonas.
I need to get my Sean Lee jersey because the Sean Lee.
Yeah, you guys got a freaking
crew.
You know, you need to get a Waters jersey because Waters now in your offensive line is going to be key.
Oh, I
got to
tell you a stat. Waters, wait, real quick. I don't know if you know this. Waters.
Back in '99, was with you guys. Yes.
Of Jason Garrett.
I know.
How
I know. That's
is
crazy.
That? 14 years ago, was
full
a
circle.
Teammate of Jason Garrett, and now Jason's his coach.
Full circle. No, I think it's fascinating. I'm going to tell you like this. I think David Wilson will have a great game. Eli, Nix, Cruz, Randall, Myers. The Giants are going to score. But I don't know if they can stop Tony Romo, Witten, Dez Bryant, Austin, DeMarco Murray. I actually think the Cowboys are going to win this game myself. I don't like saying that. I don't want it to happen.
You feel dirty.
But when you just sort of look at the Giants and the offensive line and Deal and then Brown getting hurt and they let go of Phillips to Eagles and they released him. So I don't know where Phillips is doing or where he's at. And the Giants linebackers I don't love. The defensive line, I think Pierre-Paul will surprise us, and I think he's going to play, but I don't know how healthy he is. But if I'm honest, I think this is going to be a great game, but Romo doesn't make the big mistakes, and the Cowboys win 31-28. I think that they just sort of, they do what they got to do, and they pull out one at home in Jerry's, house, and hopefully nobody kicks the big screen and punts it too high and, all that other foolishness. So, hey.
All right, well, look, let's do this. We got a few minutes left in the show, so let's help our fans out there with their fantasy, right? Give me one or two guys that you got your eye on this week for fantasy.
Well, I was going to jump in right into some of these games that we didn't touch, and I'm going to tell you two or three right off the bat. Patriots-Bills, I'm looking at the tight end, Zach Sunfeld. I'm looking at Kembrell Tompkins, the receiver, C.J. Spiller for the Bills. Seahawks-Panthers, D'Angelo Williams. It's going to be hard running against that Seahawks defense. Seahawks don't play so great on the road. Last year they were 3-5. And watch Jermaine Curse for the Seahawks. I think he gets an end zone and gets a touchdown. And then out here, the Arizona Cardinals play the St. Louis Rams. Right, where the Cardinals came from, St. Louis, going back to their roots. Watch out for Tavon Austin, and watch out for my man, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm talking like a Wes Welker game, maybe 10 receptions, 140 yards, and a touchdown. So those are the three games and sort of the couple of players that I think you can watch out for and see shine on this Sunday. What
okay.
do you think?
So, it's funny. I like Chris Givens, actually, on St. Louis. I don't really love Tavon Austin. I think it'll take him a while before he starts making an impact. But look for Chris Givens as sort of that quiet sleeper on that team. Now, a guy that I picked in two of my leagues, so you could say I'm biased, but he's a guy on your team.
Yes.
Antonio
Brown. Say it.
I think he is going to wake up and decide to be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Now, it's tough making a Pro Bowl these days at wide receiver. There is so much talent out there.
You think he gets 100 receptions?
He might.
Could get 100
this year. Now, Ben's been throwing the ball too much, too. But I think that if he's going to throw it, Emmanuel Sanders is nice. But I think that, Heath Miller, the what did he have last year? Like 75, 80 receptions? Those got to be picked up by somebody.
He won't be back for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Right. So those got to be picked up by somebody. They'll probably go to the wide receiver position. Mike Wallace is gone. So Antonio Brown will certainly get the targets. And I do think he will have a breakout season. So I like me some Antonio Brown. So I look for him to do big things. And the sleeper pick, I like, it's funny because I like, I don't know if he's a sleeper because if you were, paying attention, you may have drafted him. But I like this Jordan Cameron, Cleveland.
Okay.
I think he can play. And at the end of the day, this Miami team is, he's pretty nice, but I don't love Whedon, right? And now Jordan Cameron's got a groin, and I think he's listed as probable for week one, but I think he'll be all right. And I think that he's a big athletic tight end. So in the end zone, in the red zone, if they can't punch it in with Trent Richardson, I look for Jordan Cameron to have a touchdown or two. So he might be able to do some big things. Another tight end to keep your eye on, Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. Because one of the problems they had was punching it in the end zone. And, again, I'm not a fan. It's funny because I'm going with two tight ends, and I'm not a fan of their quarterbacks, right, because I don't love Whedon, and I certainly don't love Christian Ponder. But a tight end is a quarterback's best friend, especially a bad quarterback's best friend, right? They both have, excellent running backs, certainly.
So then you should like Jared Cook with the Rams, right? You think Jared Cook?
I
think
Jared
Cook's going to have a monster year.
I think he started to show some signs in Tennessee. I think once he was, once he's unleashed on the turf in St. Louis, and Sam Bradford gets to throw him
much
the ball,
better than
it'll
Locker.
Be like,
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like Jermaine Gresham and Sam Bradford at Oklahoma. So I like Jared Cook. I think he's a nice pickup. So if he's still available in your league, go pick him up. But he's nice. So production from tight ends this week. That's what I'm calling for. Tight ends.
Okay. Let me ask you this in terms of some of these players that, like Jamaal Charles. Can Jacksonville slow him down, or does he put up like $150?
I don't know if he throws up $150, but he can certainly throw up 100 yards. I mean, Jamaal Charles is the real deal against any defense, and Jacksonville doesn't scare me.
All right, so Steven Jackson, can he get you a touchdown and 100 yards against the Saints?
See, I don't know. Yes, the short answer is yes, but I don't know what that team is going to do in the red zone. That's my one question, because they've got Julio Jones, they've got Tony Gonzalez, two monsters. I mean, Roddy White's a monster too, but those two are physically untouchable in the red zone. So I'm not sure how many red zone attempts and how many opportunities over the long season Steven Jackson's going to have. It's not like St. Louis, where he was the guy. So to the extent that he will, he's still talented. He's only, 32 years old. He's still got some gas left in the tank, but they have so many options for Matty Ice back there that they're going to take some of his touchdowns. So I think he only ends the season with, 7 or 8 touchdowns, even though that team's going to put up great offensive numbers.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll come back Monday, 6 p.m., and we will talk about the results of all these games, preview Monday's games, the U.S. Open, break that down, and, you know, update you on the pennant races in Major League Baseball. So thanks for listening. Enjoy your football weekend. And thanks for talking sports with friends.
Have a great
and
weekend.
Today. We're out.